It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll talk to Victor Yurecki, a rabbi in Charleston who's been thinking a lot about how to move forward in the wake of last weekend's shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue.
Evil words and thoughts have been weaponized. Evil acts that have been pretty much kept in the dark corners of America are now much more open. What gives me hope is I think that what we can do is learn to weaponize goodness.
This morning, we'll also celebrate Halloween by traveling to the Dingus Tunnel in southern West Virginia, where there is just something spooky about driving through in the dark. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue last weekend sent shockwaves across the country and in West Virginia. Roxy Todd sat down with Victor Yurecki, the rabbi at B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston, for his thoughts on moving ahead in the wake of the tragedy.
I think for many of us, there's a sense that we're living in the midst of a major crisis, that our country is quite divided. To me, the shooting last weekend at the Tree of Life Synagogue makes it feel as though that's even more true. As a spiritual leader of the Jewish community, but also as a person of faith, what has helped you in the past few days? Is there hope in the midst of so much darkness?
What happened at the Tree of Life Synagogue was devastating to America in general, to the Jewish community in particular. To the Jewish community in particular, in the 240 years or so of our country, the American Jewish experience has been so different than the way we've experienced life as a people for 2,000 years. America was different. Not that there wasn't anti-Semitism, and not that there weren't anti-Semites, but the idea of massacres taking place in places of our worship, those were beyond the pale. That didn't happen in America. So particularly for the Jewish people, this has been a very difficult week. We feel broken. We feel no longer safe, where maybe we were lulled into a sense of American security, that America is finally going to be the different place. So particularly for us, it's been difficult. I think for America, it doesn't feel like this is us. This is not who we are as Americans. And I'm not sure how we get out of this, except I've been thinking a lot about the idea of what maybe has brought us to this place. Evil and goodness are part of our human experience. They're evil acts, they're good acts. There's evil people, there are good people. And a lot of times it's each of us have both within us. What has maybe generated this feeling that this is changing is that evil words and thoughts have been weaponized through the media, through leadership that does not try to bring the upward reach again, that evil acts that have been pretty much kept in the dark corners of America are now much more open because, again, words have been weaponized to create that. What gives me hope is I think that what we can do is learn to weaponize goodness. And what I've noticed throughout the pain and the suffering that the Jewish communities have gone through in America is the outpouring of love. Incredible acts, not just of people picking up the phone or emailing or private messaging, but simple acts of kindness that we're experiencing here in West Virginia. When we had a joint service, the temple and the synagogue, people from the Christian community, the Muslim community, people of all faiths, no faiths, asked if they could just come and just quietly be with us. Sunday morning, the day after the massacre, I was at synagogue. We were at services, and like most of us, we were, you know, could it happen here? And we walked out, and there was a bouquet of flowers. We don't know who left it. Someone took a picture of it, of actually the family, and that person told me that the family was actually, the little children were deciding where to put it, and the parents were there. That's the simple act of goodness that needs to be weaponized. So I posted that on social media. When people saw that, that brought tremendous comfort to people. Other people started doing other acts. And so just as words can become weaponized and create evil acts, goodness can be weaponized through social media as well. There's two ways that we get out of problems. One is top-down and the other is bottom-up. Top-down would be leadership. Our country is filled with different cultures, different experiences, and we're a divided country. We're a divisive country at times. We have a robust discussion about politics, about religion, about everything. And yet, whenever it got a little too hostile, leaders led. Leaders from the top down brought us together, united us, and reminded us of our better angels. And that's not happening. So maybe it's time for the other way, and that is bottom up. We need a movement of goodness, and we can weaponize that. And maybe that's our obligation. That's what we owe America, because that's what America is all about.
That was Rabbi Victor Yurecki of Charleston speaking with Roxy Todd. To hear a longer version of their conversation, go to our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Partly sunny skies today with increasing clouds in the west. There's a chance of rain in the north, highs in the 60s and 70s. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a chance of rain, lows in the 40s and 50s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of rain, highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by CAMC Radiation Oncology Services, offering personalized treatment for brain cancer. Learn more at camc.org/radiation oncology. Now for our final Halloween story. We'll hear about a spooky place in southern West Virginia you can experience yourself. An old single-lane railroad tunnel in Mingo County has been the subject of scary stories for decades. Molly Bourne ventures inside the Dingus Tunnel to find out what exactly makes the place so unsettling.
Shortly after I moved to southern West Virginia, I started hearing about the Dingus Tunnel. It's an old railroad tunnel, one of the longest in the state at nearly two-thirds of a mile long, cut through the mountain. It was built in 1892 for a stretch of what was then the Norfolk and Western Railway, and it became the main line until 1904. The town of Dingus was a pretty hopping place back then, but when the railroad changed its route, the trains stopped using the tunnel altogether. So in 1913, it opened to vehicle traffic, with just one narrow lane. Legend has it the place is haunted. Not everyone believes that, but most people can agree on one thing. It's pretty scary. The road to Dingus, like most in this part of the state, unwinds like a ribbon. There's little to no cell service, and the tunnel kind of comes up on you quick. There's a sign indicating something is a quarter mile ahead, but that part of the sign saying what exactly is no longer there. Then, there it is. The entrance is black, except for maybe the eyes of headlights. It can be a hot summer day outside, bone dry, but it's often wet inside the tunnel, apparently from leaks in the ceiling. The lights haven't worked in a while, so it's dark. Really dark. There's an etiquette to driving through this tunnel, according to locals. First you stop, you turn on your headlights, you check for other headlights, and if you see them, let the car pass. It makes sense. Except when you can't see, because of fog, or you encounter someone who doesn't know or doesn't care about the rules. If you meet another car in the middle of the tunnel, one of you has to back out. In April, I drove through the tunnel for the first time with my friends Teresa and Judy, both longtime Mingo residents. I recorded us on the voice memo function of my phone, so the audio quality is a little sketchy.
This is far out.
I really hate it.
Oh my god, it's so creepy.
I really...
You're getting way far back. Somebody could pull
move faster. Scary enough as it is.
I'll put my brights on.
Oh, that's far less scary. What I'm really afraid of is not the tunnel, but the dark.
Hey, why is Kevin's brights on?
You have yours on?
Well, yeah, I know, but he's...
Don't run into the side of the tunnel. We're worrying about
you. You're fine. You're freaking me out, Teresa.
Three people were killed in a train collision in the tunnel in 1905, according to an entry in the West Virginia Encyclopedia. In 1972, writer Huey Perry published his memoir on the war on poverty in Appalachia called They'll Cut Off Your Project, and he described the tunnel as a violent ambush spot. There are some wilder stories that have been passed down over the years. Here's historian Stan Baumgartner.
The trains were robbed. You know, people were killed. It's hard to say how much of some of this is urban legend and how much of it is truth. The tunnel itself developed kind of a reputation, and it's made it just the nature of it, of how dark and damp it is, makes it even scarier.
2 years ago, a crew of Mingo County residents set out to investigate paranormal activity in the tunnel for this quirky local public access TV show called Relate with Nate. For the two-part Dingus Tunnel episode, host Nate Siggers brought in a group that includes Sabrina the Mountain Medium and Brad Davis, a former local newspaper writer who's also a pastor.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Relate with Nate. You know, it's close to Halloween time. Ooh. So we found the spookiest place in Mingo County, the Dingus Tunnel. Yes, I'm in Dingus. It is true. So, Sabrina, have you ever been through the tunnel?
Yes, and I've had a personal experience, and so has my son, coming through the tunnel. Coming through from the other end, maybe 5 feet in, we both witnessed a gentleman step out of the wall and straight back in. This is maybe a couple years ago. Very thin, bald, no shirt, baggy brown pants, rope belt. Just a few seconds worth, but he was there.
Ooh, I got chills.
Davis wrote a story. And yeah, he wrote, they saw some stuff. Flickering lights, weird shadows. There was even an unexplained train sound. But one person who's not scared of the tunnel is Bob Wellman. He's 82. He's not a fan of Huey Perry's book, which he says is full of tall tales about his family and the place he was born and raised. Wellman estimates he's been through the tunnel at least 500 times. He played inside it as a kid. It was cool in the summertime.
Cows would lay in that tunnel. And if you went through in a car, you'd have to get out and run the cows up.
Wellman also used to get up to no good in there. He and others burned tires inside the tunnel on Halloween, filling it up with smoke. A few years ago, he met someone he said was being aggressive in the tunnel, and they wouldn't back up. He went around it and ripped the guy's mirror off. Then there was that night in the 1950s when he was coming home from a date in his 48 Chrysler. He broke down inside the tunnel for 45 minutes.
Ran out of gas in about 12, 1 o'clock in the night. I just sat in there till somebody come my way. And they stopped, and I waved one up. They pushed me out to this side, you know. But Lord, it's been scary. I don't think it's scary. Never did.
He wasn't helped by ghostly forces, just someone passing through. Still, even after hearing from Wellman, I find driving through the tunnel harrowing. Wellman says his wife hates it too, and she and others go up over the hill and down a windy back road to avoid passing through. Maybe I'll take that route next time. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Molly Bourne in Dingus.
That story and more is available on the latest Halloween-themed episode of Inside Appalachia. Listen for free on wvpublic.org, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.